My name's Michelle Oru. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for One Another project. The date is the 11th of October 2009 and it's 2:20 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Lanyon Reynolds, Aka Pipey. My age is 48.
And where are you from?
I'm from London, so I currently reside in Dulwich. Originally from Kensal Rise.
And you lived in London all your life?
All my life, yeah. Apart from two and a half years in Germany, in Dortmund, Germany. That was from 1993 to about 95.
What were you doing in Germany?
And I was living with a German, just girlfriend, she was German, so I was living there for two and a half years, so that's the reason why I was there.
What was it like?
The country was okay, I liked it. It wasn't what, it was totally different to what people were telling me about Germany, about German people being very sort of, because of the Second World War, basically. So, a lot of people in there say, oh, the Germans are this and that, they're straight, they're not funny. And when you go there, you find German people are funny, just like anybody else. And it's just like here, really, but the streets, there's more order there. The streets are cleaner and people seem to have always, everything has to be in order, or everything is portrayed as being in order, and people act in order as well. So in a way, it's more disciplined society. That's what I found. Yeah, so I liked it. It was a welcome surprise. So I thought, when you go out and you travel and you sort of experience other countries and cultures, and you have a different opinion. Whereas if you didn't go, then you think, oh no, that's good. Before I went, I was saying to myself, no way I want to go to Germany, no way. But I went there, sort of had a different view. So if I hadn't have gone, I'd still be thinking the same thing, basically, So yeah, it was a good experience. Even in, as good as well as bad, but for what I learnt, it was good.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project, the One Another project?
A friend of mine, project band member, he told me about One Another. So I didn't ask him where he got the details from, so I presumed he got it from the TV or the BBC One Radio. So he told me to register for it.
Why did you think you might like to take part in it?
Sorry? Why did he know?
Why did it appeal to you? Why did you want to apply?
Well, I wanted to do it because I felt, well, in that platform, basically you have, it's a good platform to basically air your ability or whatever artistic ability you have in front of an audience, daunting as that may be. So I was sort of doubtful about it at first, and I thought, well, it is a good opportunity, so you don't really get this opportunity very often, not like this, so I might as well take it. So I applied.
Tell me about your work as a musician.
My work as a musician, basically I used to perform a lot at open mics, say five days a week, and that was mainly to recruit band members. So I used to perform at open mics in Islington, Richmond, Brixton, Crystal Palace, Balham, all over, jam sessions and stuff like that.
What kind of gigs would those be?
They would be like, some of the open mics would be like folky, informal folky open mics, and some of them would be sitting in a circle and you just sort of they perform their pieces and you could sort of jam along, so some of them open mics were like that. Others were like had the structure and everything was worked out, and basically I was the only one sort of there by myself with the flute, so I'd either perform one piece improvised solo and then I'd get somebody to perform on the guitar, and I'd attempt to come up with a melody, or I'd give him a melody and then we just take it from there. So I did it for quite some time. For about 2 years, I think. From about 2005 to about 2000. Well, I'm still doing it now, but not so much as before. And had sort of bands as well, fully formed bands, and we've performed at festivals in the Barking Festival, we did one. And there's a Cavendish pub in Stockwell, we performed there. Pipey and Friends performed, as well as another project that we had, which was Loveness, and we performed there once. and I performed also on Electric Avenue in Brixton. That was a festival where I performed once by myself, then again with another guy, a duo, a guy called Steve, and we did some pipey and friends numbers. And then after that, Loveness performed as well, you know, with the full band. So that was about a few hours. That was last, what was that, 2007? I believe in June, no, 2008, last year, I think it was. In the summer of June or July.
Do you like doing the festivals?
I do, yeah. It'd be good to get more festivals, really, but the thing is, when you have band members and you can't get, because of the DJ culture now, or because everyone's got PC, everybody thinks they're a producer, so everybody, they don't really like to work on other people's projects, or they don't come on board and work towards an objective because, you know, it's sort of taking something away from them, so it's hard to keep people, really. So you get people for a while and they say, oh, well, they want to do this, or you got a song, and you talk to them and say, well, look, you're not writing the songs, we're writing the songs, the song with us for 2 years, you know what I mean, and to see what happens. So they say, yeah, and then afterwards, after a few months or a few weeks, oh, I got a song, oh, I used to write this, and so it just peters out, and you end up sort of bad blood and whatnot with other people, so it's been nothing but headaches. So anybody who wants to be a musician is going to be pretty, you know, it's, for me, for myself, if you want to be a musician, it's going to be pretty sort of dedicated, or it's going to be more than sort of money, really, to sort of stick it out. But when you think about it, you know, I mean, who'd want to be, it's too much of a headache, really, you know. But I keep doing it, you know what I mean? But it's not because of, yeah, I'd like to have some money, but that's not the real reason why I'm doing it, you know. But other people, I mean, that's what they want, money. So, you know, when you're thinking in a sort of different objective to other people, well, it always comes into conflict. So our projects have never really lasted that long because of that, you know. Or you get a bunch of female singers together, nothing but problems, fighting, you know, crash. So, you know, so we have Pipey and Friends, and we have other projects, and it goes from that to that, you know, to keep things flowing, you know. Yeah, so, but it's, yeah, when you sort of produce a musical work that is really sort of entertaining, then you feel it's all worth it, really. So that's what keeps us going, you know, in spite of the hardships in getting the stuff done, you know what I mean? Sort of, you know, you can't say that we're working on a shoestring, sort of a thread string we're working on, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
When did you start playing the flute?
1982. Yeah, because I was on a youth opportunities project, which is a bit like the New Deal that they have today. That was in the 80s. And they, because they took me on some, I don't know what it is, you know, when you go to an interview and they try and find out, ask you all these psychological questions to find out what exactly you'd be good at. The guys told me, well, you know, from the questions I answered, I'd be good at sort of artistic things. So I was doing murals and that, and getting involved in plays and designing leaflets and sort of taking them around to all the community centres, advertising plays and stuff like that. So yeah, that was the best employment I ever had, you know, apart from music. So I really enjoyed that for 2 years, got stuck at it, you know what I mean? There's other sort of work that I did before employment, I didn't really sort of stay very long, a few weeks or whatever. So I really enjoyed that. And from that, then I got involved in music, because I met some musicians in the, you know, the Ladbroke Grove area. And I hadn't played an instrument then, so for some reason I decided on the flute. I don't really know why. I've lost the memory of why I wanted to play the flute. So I asked one of the workers at the place where I was working, the community centre, and he said, ask him for a teacher. Does he know a teacher? He said to me, I got a dress of a teacher in Willesden. So he gave me a number. And so I needed some money for a flute. I didn't have the money. So because I'd worked so well in the community centre, I got good recommendations from the workers. So I knew another guy who dealt with funds, you know, giving out funds for various projects. And so because I sort of know them sort of fairly well and stuff, then I gave them the recommendations and everything. Then I got £100 for a flute. You know, I never played one before, so that was pretty crazy. So then I bought a flute, second-hand flute. I think it was an Edgefield I bought. I can't remember where I bought it, anyway. And then from there, then I took lessons, private lessons. You know, so then it was 3 years intense. Crazy. So I did 13, I got 13 certificates for that, you know, and I never really stuck at any sort of studying before, you know.
Why was that? particularly.
No, because I don't know, because when you're young, it's a sort of the undisciplined is a cool thing, you know, and when you sort of don't have, when you grow up a lot of us in your families, they don't really sort of, at that time didn't encourage the kids, so there was no, you know, the culture is, you know, if you got it, nobody have to encourage you, you just do, you know what I mean? So there was no encouragement for any kind of music or anything like that. It's just like, you know, you got to get a job and this and that, so, you know, so I was sort of wondering, didn't know what to do, so music gave me a purpose, so I really stuck at that.
And what was it like at that time, Ladbroke Grove? What was it like living there?
It was cool because there were a lot of squatters around. We were squatting, but people were producing music, you see, and they were sort of serious about their music, but it was about music for the love of music and not just sort of making the money. So in that sense, it was easier for people to collaborate and produce things. So in that sense, it was cool, you know what I mean?
Do you think that attitude's changed a lot now?
Yeah, people don't really, you can't get people on board now to do music for music's sake because it's just like more money orientated, so when you want to get them on board to work towards a project, they don't want to do it. Or they're working on their own projects, or three or four projects, and when they work with you, then they're not really there, you see? So you can't really get anybody to stick at to go through like 1 year, 2 year with you. It's proven virtually impossible.
I think you mentioned before we started, we were talking before the interview, that mm-hmm. you've been to New York.
Yeah, I went there 2005, because I sort of given up music, yeah, I gave up music from 1995, when I came back from Germany. You know, and then I only paid for an hour a day, but that wasn't enough because I'd forgotten the scales and everything. I didn't know what major or minor was, but I just sort of twiddled around for an hour. So I thought I'd keep my lip in just in case I get called out to do the flute, you know what I mean? So I was still into that, and I was sort of doing stuff like making music on the PlayStation as well, which is pretty crappy, sad, but you know what I mean? Because the sounds are not clean, and even though you can sort of go inside and clean them up, when you sort of turn it up on the hi-fi, the sounds are really dirty, the PlayStation, and I had a Yamaha keyboard, so I was making tracks interesting. To me, it was interesting tracks, but they weren't finished. You know, so basically I needed a laptop or a computer to get better sounds, but I didn't sort of have the motivation to go that far. So I had a lot of these stuff that I had and a lot of stuff I've written that was just sitting there, so I thought, well, you know, my days for doing music are over, you know what I mean? So I've given up in a way, you see. And then I worked for 7 years in a factory, so after when you work that hard, you know, it takes it out when you come out, you just knackered, so you think, oh man, you know what I mean? So he's just sort of drinking beer, you know, drinking beer, booze and work, you know what I mean? So I did that for 7 years and then I got made redundant. I was working in a clothes factory for 2.5 years, the last 2.5 years, I got made redundant in 2003. And I was living in Hackney at the time. So, you know, because of work and everything and taking everything out of me, I sort of was not doing anything. You know, so I had no motivation to look for work, really.
How were you feeling at the time?
Well, I suppose I felt lost, you know what I mean? But, you know, I sort of was just waiting, I was sort of resting my body, you know what I mean, basically. So the months went on to a year, on to 2 years, not working and stuff. You know, and they put me on just this and that course, you know, to look for employment. You know, but nothing ever really happened. And I did eventually get work something in the clothing industry. I can't remember what it was, packing or something. And then my friend called me up and said, oh yeah, well, they've got projects in America. You know what I mean? And because I had problems with my rent, you know, to get the government to pay the rent, and I went on for months and months, I thought, to hell with it. You know what I mean? Just give the flat up, go to America. Perhaps this is a new beginning. It would be better. So I went over to America, and I hadn't seen my parents in 18 years. So my sisters, I didn't really know them. You know, because
your parents were over there.
Yeah, they moved there in 86. So I haven't seen my mum for 18 years. I saw my father maybe 2 years before I went over. And one of my sisters I haven't seen, you know, since she's a babe, so one about five or so. So I was a stranger to her. My other sister as well. I was a stranger to her as well. My sort of sister after me. We're all strangers, basically. You know, so we got acquainted. You know what I mean? So it's sort of pretty strange, but America's cool. I liked it. I didn't want to come back, even though it was dangerous. I ran in through the Bronx, Harlem, no problem, you know, because the Harlem has been regenerated. So Harlem looks very, very posh, you know, so I was surprised when I went there. And Brooklyn as well, you know, so it's crazy. So
it wasn't what you expected.
No, I didn't expect them to be everything to look so clean and everything. The trains, there's very few trains with graffiti and it's all cleaned up. They've got a lot of new rolling stock. So it is totally different. The violence is there, but everything just looks more cleaner.
Why did your parents decide to move out there?
No, my dad applied in the 70s because he's thinking of going back to Jamaica or Africa. And his brother said, yeah, come home to America, you know. So my father applied for that in the 70s. And then after the years went by, he thought, well, no, you can't be bothered to go to America. He just sort of leave it. But then he retired, he got made redundant because of his age and stuff, you know. So my uncle said to my father, yeah, come home to America. You know, my father said, oh, God, I don't want to go. Then he said, oh, we might as well, you know, because he applied for it. And my uncle said, yeah, you've got a place for you and everything. So that's what the reason why they went over, you know. So they're up Styx in 86, and I was just left with one sister over here. And so never saw them for many years.
And how's your relationship with them now?
Oh, it's good. It's better. You know what I mean? As far as age in it, you know what I mean?
Do you feel better feeling that you've got...
I do, yeah, because even though it's a bit sort of... It's a traditional family, so they don't really sort of communicate with the kids. So it's not like we can sit... In fact, yeah, it is different, yeah. We do talk more. You know what I mean? There's more of a communication. But it could be better, but it's better than before. You know, so they're sort of mellowing out and, you know, sort of, I suppose that's age does it to you, I mean, sort of, you know, sort of nearing to the pearly gates and stuff. So, you know, they've got less to worry about, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's cool. It's all relaxed and everything is all right.
So you started playing flute again when you got there?
I did, yeah. Because I stayed at my parents' place and I could sort of rehearse in the basement. So I was rehearsing 4 hours a day and stuff, you know. And then after that, then I sort of went to... running around Harlem, because we were rehearsing with a spoken word. We had a spoken word project, but we didn't get to perform, you know, because the girls, you know, obviously have to make money if you haven't got, you know, so she's under pressure to make money and stuff in the family. So that project basically crashed before it could get off ground, really. So I performed once at an art gallery in Harlem, because we used to rehearse at this some woman's place in Harlem. So she had a place, I said, yeah, come around and rehearse, you know, because this guy knew her. And I was paying for a rehearsal space in Manhattan. And it was eating up my money, so, you know. So I thought, yeah, if it's free, well, you know, so it was cool. So we rehearsed and sort of got drunk on rum and stuff like that, you know, so it was just crazy. And we went out to sort of clubs, reggae clubs, and went out to a jazz club. It was a jam session, and the standard there, they have open mics in America, but it's competitive, you know.
Different from...
Over here it's not really competitive. Over there, when one performer comes on and they perform, gives it their all, another one comes on and they raise the bar, you know. There's no messing around, you know. So when I saw that, I thought, you know, serious business, you know. So I didn't know about jazz. I still don't really play jazz because my stuff is sort of a mixture. It's not one or other, it's always a mixture of everything in there. So I actually went up there and I performed a jazz track or something about Caravan or something like that. I can't remember the name of it, and I had it in my mind, and I went up there and I was playing along, you know what I mean. And then all of a sudden, my mind just went blank, you know. I mean, I couldn't sort of get the rest of it. So I thought, well, you know, I'm out of here, you know what I mean? But at least I got up there, you know what I mean? So that was a sort of a tense moment. But that jam system was serious. Those guys, everybody came at this sort of long line of guys, about 11, with saxophones and all that. This one up and this, you know, and they just blew until they just stopped. Some of them just stand there, they couldn't do anymore. Another guy came up and just relentless. So that's from when I saw that open. That's the reason why they're so good, because it's just about, you know, what they can do, how they can convey the language and the music, which is most important. You see what I mean? And so I suppose the best ones are the ones that convey the message via the music. They're the ones that really stand out, you know.
How do you think people react to what you're going to do?
Some will be surprised, I guess, because they don't. Some people will be surprised, I guess. Some people will be not understand what I'm doing there, or, you know. But I reckon some people would be surprised. Just from the plane, because they see me at open mics, so, you know.
Have you told anybody that you're doing this?
I told quite a lot of people, yeah. And I told them to check it on the web. So some said they would. I guess some will. Some will be too busy too. So I'll find out, because I told some of them to get back to me and give me their opinions, so that'll be interesting to see what they think.
Are you going to play for the whole hour? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to play some pipey tunes. I've got I'm gonna play. One is called A, next one is Feel, next one is Ease, next one is Time's Gone By, and Pomp, and one is called Blues. So those are the ones I'll play, and then I'll play Sailing. Then I'll play a bit of Waterloo. And I'll play, what's that one? Oh, Redemption Song, yeah. And then after that, I'll play, well, we'll see. I'll play Monty Python, but see what happens.
Monty
Python. Yeah. So that's what I'll, those are the ones I'll play. So it will be, when I play for the full hour, I'll probably sort of have maybe gaps in between, maybe say a few words or something, but we'll see. You know. So basically those are the songs I'll be playing. So it's about, I think, 13 or 14, you know.
How will that be for you, do you think? How will it compare as a gig to other things?
Well, the other things I've played, it's, I suppose because of the media coverage, I've never had it on the others. Because otherwise I've just like sort of performed and gone home and that's it. But this is totally different, you know. I've never really sort of, I've sort of emailed people when I've done sort of tracks and stuff, you know, and it's new sort of stuff. Yeah, listen to this, listen to this, but this is totally a different thing. So it's like, it's more people will get to see what the piping thing is about. So I'll be under more scrutiny, so they'll be able to judge it more or make more of a judgment, whether good or bad or whatever. So I reckon the judgment would be more, you know, simply because of the venue where it is, where, you know, so that's what I think people will be thinking and judging, and what they'll think, I don't know, you know. At this minute, I don't really, maybe I don't want to know. Maybe after, it'd be good to think about it after.
What are you hoping to get from this experience?
For myself, well, better performance skill, basically, so, yeah. And to, yeah, and be more calmer in the situation, you know what I mean? So, rather than getting hyped. You know, so.
Is there anybody you'd really like to perform with?
Yeah, but they're all sort of stellar, you know. I mean, James Gorman is good, but I mean, just blow me away, man, you know what I mean? But he's cool, you know. I like Jean-Pierre Rompal, but I mean, the standard of play is sort of totally out of this dimension, you know what I mean? So, I'd say James Galway. But I can't really, couldn't really play that sort of stuff that he plays, you know what I mean? So it had to be something sort of more sort of simplified. I just love his tone, brilliant, you know what I mean? I'd have to have a tone like that, you know? I'm trying to think of some others. It'd be good to play like some guys in the DJs or something like that. You know, I like the sort of new sound, you know, I like the grime sound, you know what I mean? I mean, I like Dizzy Rascal stuff. His one seems to be best of all at the minute, how it's done. You know, it comes across, whereas some of the others, I'm not really feeling the music, you know what I mean? I suppose, you know, Dizzy Rascal has the pop structure done well, you know what I mean, the format. Yeah, but yeah, I suppose, would I have to play Dizzy Rascal? No, I suppose, yeah, why not? Yeah. That'd be like a challenge, you know what I mean?
Did you describe yourself on your profile? What did you put on there?
I put on there something to do with something with the conscience. I don't really remember the exact words, you know? And there's this conscious artist. That's what I remember, you know. Just those words. The rest of it, I don't remember.
You're looking forward to it now?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before you go up
and you can? I'm going to give my web address, you know what I mean? Yeah. You can check out Pipey and friends at www.myspace.com/PYEPI. Check that site out and you'll get all you need to know about Pipey and friends.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.